Cliff Huff
Tess. Case Huff Tess from the top line. So the Mishnah discussed the case of a fetus that comes out either piece by piece or Mesuras, which is basically breached. So the Mishnah had said, when Rove of the body comes out, it's considered that it's born, and that wouldn't have force, you would have Tumas Leda. If it came out in the normal fashion, then it's what determines that the later took place is Rov Rosho. And we said, what's a Rov Rosho? It's Mishayotza Pedachto, which is basically the forehead coming out. So Amar Rabbi Lezer, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lezer, Lezer says, that which we said, that if it comes out, V'chutach Evarim V'Vedorim, it's not considered nolad until Rov comes out. Rav Lezer says, Afilu Harosh Imahen. Even if the Rosh comes out, let's say the Rosh comes out, and it makes it 25% of the body, so even though the baby comes out normally, the Rosh makes it a full a birth. If it's coming out, body part by body part, the Rosh does not have that Kashivas, and therefore it is not going to be considered, it's not considered that the birth took place yet. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the din of Aver, needing Rove, is only Lo Shanu, Ela She'in HaRosh Yotze Imahen. It's only if the Rosh does not come out. Aval HaRosh Imahen, so the Girsa here is a little messed up, we change the Girsa too, HaRehu Kiyolu. Then it's going to be considered that it is born. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the head has the status of being Chashuv, whether it's coming out normally or whether it's coming out piece by piece. The Gemara says, Lema B'Nishmul Kamiflikli. Maybe this Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Yochanan is dependent on whether or not each of them hold like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Ein HaRosh Poter B'Nefalim. The head does not potter stillborns. What's that case? Ein HaRosh Rosh B'Nefalim, Rashi says, Yotza Rosh HaNefel. If it's a stillborn, the head comes out. Kikon Yoledes Te'omim. She's giving birth to twins. I don't know what the case is. Yoledes Te'omim L'Shiva in the seventh month. Echad Nigmar Atzuraso. The Echad Lo Nigmar Atzuraso. One's complete. I guess one's a 7-month fetus, one's a 9-month fetus. The Yotzer Rosh HaNefel. So the head of the non-viable baby comes out. The Hechziro. And then it goes back in. The Yachar Kach Yotzer Achiv. And then the brother comes out. Havi Bechor LaKohen. Number 2 is still considered Bechor because the head of number 1 was a Nefel. It didn't count. She'ein Rosh HaNefel Poteras HaBa'acharam Min HaBechorah. So we're going to say that Rabbi Lazar, who says that the head does not have chashivas, is going to hold like Shmuel. And Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the head does have the chashivas, is not going to hold like Shmuel. So Gemara says, no, wait a second. Bid shalem kuli amalo pliki. If the baby comes out full, if the body is complete, and no one's going to argue that once the head comes out, it potters, even by a nafel. So nobody holds like Shmuel. Everyone's going to hold that a full-bodied baby, even if it's non-viable, the head creates the concept of the leda. Ki pligi, where's the machlokes? Bimechutach. In our case specific, Shmuel is talking about a case where the baby is full. It may not, it's a stillborn, but it's full, the body is complete. Where's there a machlokes? Ki pligi, bimechutach, where the baby's coming out piece by piece. The marsav, or Rebbe Lazar, is going to hold that specifically, blisholim, hudikachoshiv. Only if the baby's full, does the head count? But mechutach lo kachashiv. But if the baby is not full, the baby is coming out piece by piece, then the head is not considered a chashiv. Umarsav and Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold that b'mechutach nami chashiv. That the head, well, the head is the head, and the head is also considered a chashiv. So if the head comes out in mechutach baby, even if the head is only makes it 30% of the baby being born, bottom line is the head came out. That's enough to create tumas leda, and that's when the leda, the tumah begins. So now we skip the parentheses because basically everybody, except for the Rashba, skips the parentheses, so we don't have much time today. So, Ika demas nilei lahay shmaita v'apinafshei. Some learn this maimer that we brought to the machlokas from Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, an independent statement, machlokas, as opposed to what we had, that we learned it out, we learned that they were discussing our Mishnah. Some learn it as an independent statement, as follows. Amar Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar says, Ein harosh kerov eivarim. The head of the head of the Nefel is not like the rest, like Rove Varim, meaning even if Rove Varim come out, so Ein HaRosh Kerov Evarim, right, the head is not considered like the Rove. It's like everything else. That's a regular body part. It's not considered Rove, therefore it doesn't have the extra Chashivas to come out, that if it comes out the head, you have a birth. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, HaRosh Kerov Evarim. No, the Rosh itself is like the Rov Ivarim, and therefore when the Rosh comes out by itself, that's considered a Nolad already. So now, we see that the Machlokas here is not in accordance, nothing to do with the Mishnah. So the Gemara said, the idea is, the Machlokas is, whether the Gemara asked, maybe the Kamiflagi, the Machlokas is, but the Shmuel, the Machlokas is with the Shmuel. Rav Elazar holds like Shmuel that the head does not have Chashivas, and Rav Yochanan will hold not like Shmuel that the head does have Chashivas. Tanan, so now the Gemara is going to ask from our Mishnah on Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan said that the Rosh itself is considered Rov. Tanan, our Mishnah said, Yotza Mechutach L'Mesuras, if it comes out piece by piece or breached, Misha Yotza Rubo, once Rov comes out, Harehu Kiyolud, then it's considered birth took place. Now the Gemara makes a deal. Midika Amar Mesuras, the fact that it mentions the case of Mesuras, meaning Mesuras is separate than Mechutach, case of breach, Michlal de Mechutach Ketikno. Mashma, that when the case of Mechutach, I don't know why that's so mashma, the case of Mechutach is when it's coming out piece by piece the normal way, when it's coming out head first. Vika Amar, so it's coming out head first, which means the head comes out first, and nevertheless, Ka Amar Misha Yatzarubo. They said that the birth, it's only considered Yalud when Rove comes out. Ha Reze, Yatzarubo raised the Yalud, meaning it's not sufficient that the head came out. Kashla Rabbi Yochanan. That's a Kashla Rabbi Yochanan. Again, the Gemara's assumption is, it's a big assumption, the Gemara's assumption is that the case of Mechutach is head first. And despite the fact that the head's coming out first, the Mishnah still requires Rov, which is a Kashla on Rabbi Yochanan, who said the head equals Rov. So Rabbi Yochanan's going to reinterpret the Mishnah. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, Ema, let's say, Yotza Mechutach Mesurach. Now the case is, it's coming out piece by piece, breached. I mean, it's coming out piece by piece, feet first. So the Gemara says, but that can't, and therefore, it's not talking about the case of coming out head first. The Gemara says, that can't be, because look at the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say Mechutach Mesurach. It says Ha O Ketani. It says Mechutach or Mesuras. It's not an and, it's an or. It's a huge difference in the contract, an and an or. It's a huge difference in the Mishnah, and or. So, Hare O Ketani. So the Gemara says, no. Hacha Kamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Yotza Mechutach, if it comes out piece by piece, O Shalim, or it comes out complete, right, O Shalim, Ze Veze Mesuras, each way being breached, meaning it's coming out either piece by piece breached, or coming out full, it breached, Misha Yotza Rubo Hareze Kiyolod. In that case, it's going to be Yolod. So it's Mechutach Umesuras, but in the normal way. So instead of just changing the word O, he adds another word into the Mishnah, because it becomes Mechutach, he says Yatza Mechutach O Sholem, both being Mesuras, that becomes Yod. But if it would come out head first, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that would be sufficient to create the birth.
What's the case of Mesuras is where
it
doesn't come, obviously.
Mesuras is just a breach.
Delivery of what? Of the right, not the bottom of the
It comes feet first.
Part, right?
It comes feet first.
Coming. Okay, but not whole or pieces?
Depends. In the case where it's full, it's full. Shalim. In the case where it's pieces, it's pieces.
Why does it make a difference if it's a breech or head first?
Because head first going to Rav Yochanan, once the head comes out, it's chashiv. It makes it considered a birth, even if it's coming out mechutach.
In terms of what's the issue? When the ladies begin?
When the ladies begin, right.
To
start counting, I would guess. Okay. So Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, this machlokas between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, again, the machlokas between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan is whether or not the head constitutes Rov. Right? So he says that machlokas is katanoi. That is similar to a machlokas tanoim. We learned in the following, I guess it's a brisa. Yotza mechutach, it comes out piece by piece. O mesuras, or comes out breached. Misha yotza rubo, when Rov of the body comes out. Harehu kiyolod. That's considered yolod. So even piece by piece, if you're coming out head first, it's not. You still need Rov. Rav Yossi Omer, Misha Yotza Ketikno. Only when it comes out head first is it going to be considered a birth. But if it comes out, I guess if it comes out Rov Eivarim, it's not considered a birth. It's a whole new thing. So the Gemara says, Mike Omer. What is Rav Yossi saying? According to the words of Rav Yossi right now, he's saying that if it came out complete, what does it mean, Misha Yotza Ketikno? It's only considered a birth when it comes out, you know, head first. If it comes out fully breached, it's not considered a birth. Like, it doesn't make sense what he's saying. So Gemara says, Amar Papa Hakik Amar. This is the gears of the Brisa. Yotza Mechutach V'Mesuras. If it's coming out piece by piece, breached. So it's coming out feet first, you know, ankles, knees, coming out piece by piece, cut up, breached. then Mishayotza Rubo Huk Areyu Kuyolo. Then you need Rov in order for it to be a birth. That's the Tanakama. Hakitikno, Masha, if it comes out in a regular way, HaRosh Poter. The Rosh is still considered, it's still papatrasic. Even if it's coming out piece by piece, the Rosh is enough. That's so that the Rosh is considered Rov. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishayotza Rubo Kitikno. No, if it's coming out, even if it's coming out head first, but if it's coming out piece by piece, you still need Rove, because when it's piece by piece, the head does not constitute the Rove. Okay, so Maskif, look.
Rove is a Chashav.
What?
Rove
equals Rove, that's what I'm saying. It equals Rove. It's the same status as Rove, because it's Chashav. It would have the same status as Rove.
And Tumah works the same way.
I don't know.
What it means is, I'm telling you, Rove of Chashivas.
Rove makes something, what makes it Chashav? Rove? Or the head, it's head is enough. So if you hold the head has Chashiva, so the head equals Rove. It's the same, it doesn't mean it's 50%, it has the same halachic status as Rove. Maskif Razvid. Razvid now asks on Rav Papa, this is the way Rav Papa interpreted, Michlal, from the words of, the way you say, from the way you explained, Tibim Mesuras, if the blade baby comes out full, but feet first, Rubo Namilo Poter. It's also not going to be putter. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi says, Mishayotza Rubo Kitikno is the way you... It's only going to be considered Rov if it comes out, you know, the normal way. Mashma, if it comes out feet first, even Rov isn't sufficient. But we know Rubo Kitkulo. So how can you tell me, how can you say that? So Ella Amar Razvid, Razvid says, Hachik Amar. This is how you have to interpret the Brisa. The Tanakama says, Yotze Mechutach Vimisuras. If it's coming up piece by piece via in a breech way, Mishayotza Rubo Hareze Ki Yulud. If it comes out Rove, that's the birth. Hakatikno, if it comes out the normal way, right, even if it's coming out piece by piece, Harosh Poter, the Rosh is halachically considered Rove, and therefore it says that's the birth. Rabbi Yossi says, no, when is the Rosh considered a birth? That's Mishayotza Kitikno Lechayim. It's only if it comes out head first as a viable baby. If it's not viable, then the head doesn't count. And that is exactly the same machlokas. That's the machlokas Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi is the same machlokas of Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says that the Rosh is considered. Rabbi Elazar is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi that the Rosh is not considered. The Rosh is not considered the Rove unless it comes out, you know, is a full-bodied baby that's alive. And the Rabbi Yochanan is a holy Tanakama, that even b'mechutach, even if it's coming out mechutach, once the head comes out, that's going to be considered a birth, because the head has the chashivus as much as Rove. Okay.
You can't determine how long yet, because you don't know what sex it is, right? If the head comes out, the tumah begins, and you have to wait for the rest.
Okay.
Right, I guess, right?
No, okay. No. But the tumah doesn't have to wait for the male or female. Yeah, it just starts. Right. Tainami Achi. Maybe there's another Nachmina that I just don't know of. Tainami Achi. We learned similarly in a Braisa. Yotza Mechutach Mesuras. I think you have to take off the word O. Right? Mesuras takes out the word O. So Yotza, makes sense. Yotza Mechutach Mesuras. It comes out breached and piece by piece. Misha Yotza Rubo. When a robe comes out, Hareza Kiyalud. Then it's considered born. Ha Kitikno. If it comes out the head first, Harosh Poter. The Rosh is enough. That's going to be considered the birth. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishayotza Ketikno L'chayim, only if it comes out head first, you know, wow, normal way and alive. The Eza Ketikno B'chayim, and what's considered the right way, Mishayotza Rov Rosho. When Rov of the Rosh comes out, that's going to create the birth of the head. And now the Mishnah says, there's a machlok, is what's considered Rov Rosho. The Ezo Rov Rosho, right, so what's considered Rov Rosho, if the translations here. So what's Mishayotza Rov Rosho? The Ezo Rosho, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishayotza Tzidda'av. When the temples emerge, Abachana Mishnah Rabbi Yoshua Omer Mishayotze Pidachto. When the forehead emerges, the Yeshon say Mishayir Yeroo Karnei Rosho. When the crown of its head becomes visible, it's the highest part of the skull towards the back of the head. Just different places on the head. What's considered Rosho coming out?
One more annoying question: just if the head comes out, it's a live prince of your only case when it's alive. Who cares if it's the head comes out at 241 and the rest of us are at 242. What's the difference if she's tummy at 241 or 242? You always need to count
it's
time.
It's not about the tumor. It's about being Poulter, being Poulter from
I don't know. First of all, in that instance, you can say, was it night or the next day? It makes a difference. It makes a difference. But then it maybe wasn't. Maybe it won't. But there are two situations where it will make a difference. Okay. That's the easy part of the Gemara. Now we start, the hard part actually starts on the bottom. Now, the Torah says, again, we have to remember, if someone gives birth to a male, so the first 7 days after the birth, even if she doesn't see blood, she's Tumei Shivas Yomim. At the end of the seventh day, she goes to Mikvah, she becomes Tahora, and all blood that she sees now until day 40 are considered Tumei Tahara. So, right, so 7 plus 33 days of Tahara. She gives birth to an Akeva, it's double. It's 14 days of Tumah, then she goes to Mikvah, and then she has 66. Until day 80, it's considered Tahora. The Mishnah says deal with a person, a woman, who is Mapil, or she aborted, she gave birth to something. She doesn't know what she gave birth to. She doesn't know whether male or female. And then the Mishnah is going to say later on, she doesn't know when. In the great case, she doesn't even know when it happened. So we have all these permutations and calculations trying to figure out when she's coming. When you look at the article and you see charts, you know it's hard. So Bahama Peles, so on. You know, she gave birth to something. She doesn't know whether she was Mapil Zakar or a Keva. She knows for sure something came out. She knows for sure a fetus came out. She doesn't know what it was. It wasn't in the hospital, whatever the case was. It's lost. So Teshev, she has to be Noheg, we've seen this before, Lizakar Lenakeva. She has to do the Chumras of a Zakar and a Keva. The Chumras of the Zakar is that she only has 40 days of Tahara. The Chumra of the Nekeva is that she's Tumat 2 weeks. So she's Tumah for 2 weeks, which is 14 days. So then she only has 26 days left, I believe, right? That works, 26 days left of Tahara, right? That's what she has. Ein yadua im vlad haya.
What's that for Zachar? It's 40 days or 33 days?
It's 40 after day 40, which is 33.
Day 40, 7 days of Tumah. Okay.
7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Tahara. So that's, then I think the math works. Yeah, okay. Ein yadua im vlad haya, im lav. She doesn't know what she expressed or she expelled was a vlad or not. Maybe it was a clump of something, I don't know, imlav. So then she has to have another, but there's blood here. So now, teshev lezachar lenikeva ulenida. She has to take the chumras of a zachar, the chumras of a nikeva, and the chumras of a nida. The nida means that she, basically she has to assume that the blood is demei nida, which right. Means there is no yumei Torah. She has no yumei Torah. I don't know what the Zachar is over here. She just, right, Rashi says, Ein yadu im vlad hayi im lav, teshev lezachar ulnekeva ulnida. Klomar, kishatira, when she sees blood, tehenita, she should be considered a nita. She ain lo yimei toar, she has no concept of pure days. Deshema lav ladu, because maybe it wasn't a vlad. Right? Maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. So let's go the chumra that it was a female, so she has 14 days of tumah. And then after those 14 days, if she continues to see blood, we're going to say that that's nida. Maybe that's because maybe there was no birth, and that's going to be considered demei nida, not demei tohar. Okay. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi has the following case: so you have a pregnant woman, avra nahar. She's walking through the river, vihipila, and she expresses something into the river, and the river just takes it away. So did she give birth or not? So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, mevi a karban v'ne'achal. Not only do we view that she brings the karban, we're so confident that she gave birth to something that the kohanim are allowed to eat that karban. Normally, if you have a suffix by karban yoledes, you're not going to eat it. Why? Because the karban of a yoledes is a bird and is done via malika. So if she wasn't chayav to bring that karban, what you have now is a nevela. Right. So only if you're certain that she's mukhuyeves to bring that karban is the kohen allowed to eat it. And here he's saying, nechal, that they eat it. So Gemara then, right? So Neviyakor v'nechal. Why? Halach acha rov nashim. We're going to go according to rov nashim. We assume this woman was pregnant, right? We see that we knew this woman was pregnant. And the rov nashim vlad ma'al yadam. And most women give birth to a vlad. When they express a vlad, and right? And therefore we assume that she gave birth to a vlad. And therefore we have this rov, and so the rov is enough to allow the korban to be eaten. The Gemara says, Tana, what our Mishnah says, Ein yadua im vlad haya, teshev lezachar ulnekeva ulnida. We're not sure whether it's a vlad, it's going to be the zachar ulnekeva ulnida. So, am I teshev lenida? Why are we concerned about the nida? Lema halacha harov nashiv, haroi nashiv, va ma'al yaladan. Why are we concerned about neither? Say it was a rove, the rove she gave birth, forget the neither. If it's rove gave birth, and it's enough to hate the karbon, so why are you concerned about neither at all? So the Gemara says, no, different case. Masnisin b'shelo huksa ubra, ubara. I guess in the Mishnah, we didn't know for sure yet that she was pregnant. Therefore, we have a suffix as what came out or not. But kikam Rav Shuv and Levi b'shehuksaka ubara. That's where we knew that it was huksak that she was pregnant. Machlokas, what it means huksaka ubra, doesn't mean that she felt a baby. Doesn't mean that people are looking at her and saying, oh, that this woman is pregnant. Not so PC nowadays, especially you have to touch them, whatever. So you're not. What's the machlokas as to what that means huksaka ubra? Okay, tashma. So now the Gemara is to bring a question on Rav Shuv and Levi from a brisa that deals with the bechor behema behora. So tashma, behema, so you have an animal. She yotza mileya, goes out to graze, and it's pregnant. Uba'a rekonis, at the end of the day, or wherever it is, it comes back from wherever it was, it comes back empty, without the ubar, and we have no idea whether we gave her to a vlad, or to a ruach, or something that paters or not. Haba'a charav, the boy, the next baby that's born, let's say it's a male, the vlad, haba'a charav, is bechor misafik. Has the status of a bechor misafik. What does that mean, bechor misafik? Rashi says, Hoshem, third and last line, Shem is a hayavlad. Maybe the first one that we lost is a vlad. Va'aba acharavin bechor. So the one that came afterwards is not the bechor. Hoshem aruach epila. Maybe it was just nothing. Va'aba acharav bechor ma'alyuhu. And the one that came afterwards is the bechor. Hilkach safiku. It's a suffik. So when they cover suffik bechor, there are two aspects. Who does it belong to? What can you do with it? Well, bechor usually belongs to the kohen. It's a suffik. You have to smotzi mechaver alvaraya. The kohen has to prove that the other one was not a birth. Right, so v'yocha b'mumo l'baylim. And what do you do? But you can eat it once you have a suffix. You can't just shecht it regularly because it has suffix kedusha. You have to wait to get to mum and then you can eat it. The Rashi says v'yocha b'mumo l'baylim v'lo l'kohen, but not to the kohen. Damotzi mechaver al varaya. That's what we said. Okay, so it's a suffix. The Gemara says amai. Why do we say that it's a suffix? Hayilich acharov behemos. Maybe there's the same rov by the behemos. Let's go according to the rov of the behemos. V'rov behemos vlad ma'alya l'yaldan. Most behemos give birth to a vlad. High pashatu. So the second one that came afterwards is not a bechor; it's a pashat. So Amaravina, Vina says no, because there's another rove. Okay. There's another rove when it comes to behemos. Amaravina, we shouldn't be ikla meimor because we can say rove behemos yoldos davar apoter mi din bechora umi utan yoldos davar she'ein mi poter bechora v'kol hayoldos mitanfos v'zaho v'lo tinfo itrul aruba. So rove behemos give birth to something that's going to pop to the next one from bechor. I mean, most behemos do give birth. However, all behemos, before they give birth, they secrete something. There's some sort of secretion. And this animal never had this secretion. The Gemara says, wait, if it never had the secretion, and you tell me that all animals, before they give birth, have this secretion, e kola yodos metanfos, hamid lo metinfos, so this one didn't have the secretion, bechor ma'alyuhu. So they definitely didn't give birth to anything. So the second one is avada bechor. So the Gemara says, no, ela'ema rov yodos metanfos, for zolo. So we have two competing roves. Rove animals give birth to something that potters from bechor, and rove animals before they give birth have this tenufa, this secretion. V'hovelo tinfa itrul aruva. This one didn't have the secretion, so it violates that rove. So it crosses out, it cancels out our rove. Ki asur ravin. So when ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, the Bavel, Amar, he said, Masiv Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. Rav Yossi Rav Chanina asked the kasha on a brisa on Rav Shuv and Levi. Right, Masiv Rav Yosef Rechina Toev, from the Brisa of the Toev, the one who makes a mistake, God bless you. V'lo yadana matayufta. I don't understand what the kasha is. So Mahi, what's this Brisa from which Rav Yosef Rechina asked? The Tanya. Okay, here fun begins. The Tanya. Isha sheyotzta meleya. A woman goes out, and she goes out in front of us, and she left us, she was pregnant. Uba, and after a amount of time, she comes back, rekonis. She is empty. I mean, she doesn't have the baby anymore. Right, Rashi says, "Lufsos mar meruba the eno yodas iza emas yotze her yona." She has no idea when she lost. I guess she lost the pregnancy. She has no idea. When she comes back, the hevila fanenu shalosha shivuyim tahorin. The first 3 weeks after she comes back to us, she has no blood whatsoever. Shalosha shivuyim tahorin, and then the asara shivuos in the following 10 weeks alternates echatame echatahor. Week 4, she sees blood every day. Week 5, none. 6, blood every day. 7, none. 8, blood every day. 9, none. No, back and forth. Right, so what's the story? So we're concerned we're concerned that maybe she gave birth the day that she came to us. So until day 80, we have a chash that there was a birth. After day 80, then she goes on to a regular count. at day 80, because if it was in a keva, then she would start, she would become, you know, have the tara. So he says now, so we have 80 days to concern ourselves with. 80 days is actually in the middle of week 12. The Brisa says 13 weeks, just for consistency's sake. Week 12 is a full week of blood, and then make sure it's alternating, we say 13 weeks.
No, why? We should say Yesha Lezochra and Akeva, it should be 60 days, not 80. If you don't know what she gave birth to, then we date the Chumra of a Zochra, it should be 60 days, not 80.
No, what's 60 days?
40 days.
No, 40. I mean, sorry, 40, I'm sorry. 40, not 80.
Right.
So it's only 40 days.
Well, we have to finish the Brisa, finish what we're talking about before we start asking questions on it. Okay, so she has this 10, so she has 3 weeks of clean, 10 weeks of alternating. The Mishnah says, the Brisa says, that the only day of these 80 days, Mishameshes, L'or Shloshim L'chamesh, the only day she can have beer with her husband, is day 35 at night, the night after day 35, that she comes. Umat Bilinosa, and everyone agrees to that, we'll get to that. And how many times do you have to go to the mikvah? Beisham tishim v'chamesh tefilos divrei beisham. Beisham says she has to go to the mikvah 95 times, okay? Because there are all these sfeikos. Or beisil omrim shloshim v'chamesh. Beisil say 35 times. The point being, the beisham and beisil basically agree that there's a mitzvah for a woman to go to mikvah when she's supposed to go to mikvah. And since there are 95 possibilities of when she should go to the mikvah, she has to go to the mikvah each night, each time, 95 times. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no, there's no mitzvah to go every time there's a possibility. The only time you go to mikvah is when you know that after you go to mikvah, you're going to be Torah. If you go to mikvah and afterwards it's still going to be a suffix tumma, there's no point of going to mikvah. So he says, Omer, daya litvila shetehei b'achrona. It's enough to do the mikvah at the end, when it's all said and done. Okay, that's the brisa. Now we got to explain it. So Bishlama, the first 3 weeks we know she's Torah. Why? Bishlama shavua rishon lo mishameshes. We know that the first week she doesn't have bia amoyel and azachri, because the possibility she gave birth to a male, she may give birth to a male right then and there. So the first week, no matter what, she's tameya, right? Even if there's no blood, because it's a leda. And the second week, amar yolad azachri. The second week, shavu sheni amar yolad nekevahi. It's also possible that she gave birth to a nekeva. Therefore, she would have 2 weeks of tameya. So the first 2 weeks she can't have bia, even though she didn't see any blood. Now, the Shavua Shlishi, you also understand why she cannot have any relations even though she didn't see any blood. Amor, Yoledes Nekeva Bezovi. Maybe she gave birth to a Nekeva while she was a Zava. The possibility exists, we've seen this before, that while a woman's pregnant, usually when the blood comes out, it's Dam Leda. But it's possible exists if she has no birth pains and she sees blood three days in a row. We assume it's unrelated to the birth, and then she becomes a zava gadola. A zava gadola has to wait 3 days. A zava gadola has to wait 7 days of tahara, 7 clean days of tahara. The problem is the 7 days of tahara for a zava cannot correspond and not count along with. You can't double dip between the tahara days of the yoledes, the tuma days of the yoledes, those clean days. If she's tuma as a yoledes, even though she doesn't see blood, that can't count for the shiva nikim for a zava. So week three would count. So maybe when she gave birth, the moment she came to us and she lost it, she gave birth to a girl as a zava. So you have to wait 2 weeks for the girl, and then the third week has to be her shiva nikim for the zava. So therefore, she can't have bia the third week. So even though she didn't see blood the week one, or didn't see blood week two, or didn't see blood week three, there's no bia whatsoever, because the first 2 weeks are the tumas leda, and the third week is the shiva nikim for her zivus.
How she become a zav? She would know that she had.
She didn't know. We're stuck with choshek. She didn't know. Whenever the case had to happen, she
now,
didn't know.
Choshek was something that's not only a meat, but extremely rare. To being a zav while she's.
I don't know. That's your assumption. The Gemara is not assuming that. It's not.
It's
that's
not a
what? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say that. You're saying that. The Gemara doesn't say that. That's not what the Gemara is saying. So then we have the first 2 weeks. Now, Shavua Revi'i, on the fourth week, why can she not have beer with her husband? Yes, she sees blood, but at that point in time, that's going to be the May Tahora, because it's after the birth. Why is she also to have beer with her husband? According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, this is the question. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we go after Rov Nashim, and Rov Nashim, who are pregnant, like this woman, they give birth to a Vlad Gamor. So the Rov is that she gave birth, and she gave birth right before she came. Week four is going to be part of the Demei Tahora, right? So she should be able to give birth. So at least she should have, until day 40, she should be able to have Bia with her husband. Maybe not beyond day 40, because then you're going to... then you.
Right.
So Gemara says...
Day 21 to 40.
Day 22.
Day 22. After the seven of of Zachar, seven of Nekeva,
seven of Zachar, right.
Anything after that till the...
In week four, when she's seeing blood, she should be able to till 40, I guess. Yeah, she should be able to see Tavia.
You see no blood in the middle, so you can't...
No, she is seeing blood. She saw blood the whole week four.
That's the case.
She saw blood the whole week four.
Alternating week.
So she is Zohar. Could she be a Zohar again?
No, she's not a Zohar now because we, according to Rav Shua ben Levi, she gave birth.
Oh, all right.
So this blood is Demei Leda, Demei Tahora. So the Afal Gav Dechaz Yadam, right, even though she saw blood, Tishami, she should have Bia, the Hadam Tahoru. This is blood of Tahora. So where it says, Lav Mishum Belo Azlin Labasar Rov. Must be that we don't follow this Rov. That's a Kasher of Shua ben Levi. See, we don't follow Rov. So where it says, what are you talking about? Elamai Lo Yadana Mai Tiyufta. So why... Rabban said, "Why don't? What do you mean you don't know what the question is? That's the question, right?" So the Gemara says, "No, because Ema Hirchika Leidosa. Your whole assumption is that she gave birth the day she showed up to us. Maybe she gave birth beforehand. So there's another suffix. Who knows when the baby was born? So maybe it's like what you're saying that this isn't the Demei Tahara blood. Maybe she gave birth 4 weeks ago.
There's no
Demei Tahara left. This is now Zava blood, or this is Nida blood. It's probably Nida blood because it's the first time she's seeing. This is probably, remember, this is Nida before you become Zava. Maybe this is Nida blood. So that's the reason why she can't have Bia.
Or she's asking.
She doesn't know. That was the whole point. She doesn't know. She had no idea what happened. Rashi says, the Einu Yodas, Amos Yotze Heriona. She doesn't know.
She doesn't know when she gave birth.
Right.
She didn't give birth to a viable baby. She expressed it.
She was in coma for something.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's why it's not, that was the question on Rabbi Levi, and then it's not a question. Yeah, first Rashi, Einu Yodas, Amos Yotze Heriona. She has no idea whether what was inside her was expressed. She doesn't know. And then she comes to us. Then after she comes to us, she has this whole, I don't know how it works, how you can tell which week she can or can't have Bia when we're waiting for 13 weeks down the road. But okay, that's the question. She doesn't know.
A little far-fetched.
It's not, I don't know whether this is an actual case. This is potentially testing the rules as to what would be. Right?
She knows she expressed something.
We saw her leave, she left pregnant. She came back, she's not pregnant. That's the case. And the case is she doesn't know when she lost the pregnancy. That's what happened. No idea. Now the Gemara says, okay, now that we have the question, we still have to finish on the Braisa. Now Shavua Chamishi, the fifth week, right, the fifth week was when the woman comes back to us, the Tarhu, to Shamesh, she has no bleeding the whole fifth week. Remember, week four she bleeds, week five she doesn't, six blood, seven no, eight. So in week five, she has no blood. So why can't she have Bia with her husband that entire week? Why does she have to wait till the end of the week? Hach Shavua Chamishi Titorahu, which we shouldn't see Bo, Tishamesh. She should have Bia the whole time. What's the problem? Why can't she have Bia? So the Gemara says, Hach Shavua Revi. The week...
Week 5, but if she had a girl, then you have to wait 80 days. You have to wait 66 days after 14. So week 5, you would still be within the...
Yeah.
No, but that's so there will be a kula, and we're going to
call. No, that's a kula.
No.
What?
The Torah will be a kula for a girl. For being Torah. Yes.
Right.
No. We just don't know when she gave birth. That's the problem.
We have no idea when she gave birth. Right. That's the problem. So week 5, she sees no blood. So week 5 is basically days 29 to 35, but from when she came back, she doesn't see blood. The Mishnah said, the Bryce said she can have Bia on the last day. Gemara says, why can't she have Bria the whole week? Right? She didn't see, even though she saw blood the week before, we just said that the week before, it was maybe could have been, problem was maybe she was Anita. Well, if she's Anita, she just, there's no Shiv in the Kiyam.
Right.
Right? So she's just going to, she should have Bria the whole week. Right. So when she went to Mikvah at the end of week four, she should be clean for week five. So Gemara says, Hach Shvu Revia, this fourth week, Kol Yom V'Yom Misafkina B'Sof Leida U'B'Tchilas Nida. So the Gemara says, no, because that fourth week, the topic is, we don't know whether the blood in that week at what point in time did that blood possibly shift from being blood of a birth to blood of the Nida. It's a possibility that she only saw Nida that last day. So the whole week is a suffix afterwards of being, of the Shiv and the Kiyam, right? She doesn't need Shiv and the Kiyam, so what's going on? Hakol Yom V'Yom Maskevinan B'Sof Leida B'Tchilas Nida. Or suffix whether...
Ended,
but she doesn't see blood on week 5. But it's cut because of week 4. Right? So week four was the issue, what Rashi said. What are you saying? He says, the fifth week, the Tarahu, Tishamesh, no, Hachshvurvi, the week before, Kol Yoma V'yodim, Yoma, every day that she saw, Masafkinam B'sof Leidim Chias Nida, were suffix, whether that was the day after her Yimei Tohar, and that's how she has to count her Shiv Nimei Nidusa, the Asar Mitam Yagufya, and on the 28th day, Emar Tchilas Nidahi, so maybe day 28 was the beginning of her Nida day, and she has to wait the 7 days from the day 28, which means she only has till day 35. So the Gemara then says, okay, let's go back. What about the Asarim V'chad Tishamesh? What about on day 21? Beyond the 21, that she comes back after week 3. When she comes back after day 21, on day 21 itself, why can't she have Bia? Because the week 3, we're only concerned that she was a Zava that week, that she was a Zava. A Zava, as opposed to an Eid that goes to mikveh at night, after the Zava goes to mikveh the day, during the day. So she could have gone to mikveh the day of the 21st, gotten rid of the Zava concerns, and have Bia day 21. So Gemara says, Rav Shimon, he, no, that's the scorn of Shita Rav Shimon, the Amar Asal Asos Kain, he doesn't allow you to have, even though you go to mikveh for a Zava during the day, he doesn't allow you to have Bia till the night, Shema Tovi De Safik. Because there's a possibility that she may see blood again there after, between mikvah and between going to the mikvah and the sun setting, she may see blood again, and therefore she sees blood again. That messes up the whole count, and then you have a problem that you were bowl her while she was still a zava. So the Gemara says, okay, well, orta tishamish. Right? So maybe the Gemara says, then so that night she should see, she should have, like, we only said that she's allowed to have bia.
That's far based on when she has to see blood in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So the regular case of Zava, where you wait 7 days,
yeah,
right? So maybe that's very close to when you were a Zava.
Right.
A Zava. But if in a case where you haven't seen blood in 3 weeks,
but
a Zava does it because of the Leda.
The Zava has to count 7 clean days. We're concerned that she gave
21 clean days.
A second. But you can't count the 7 clean days for a Zava. They cannot overlap with the days of the...
I understand that, but it seems like that is a practical concern here.
Right.
That maybe you'll see blood.
The rest of the day, the next couple hours.
Maybe you'll see blood again. I hear what you're saying. You're saying, wait a second, we're only concerned of a Ziva because of what might have happened 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
Correct.
Okay.
So if it's a practical concern.
But we just make that rule. We make a rule that a Zava doesn't have Bia when she, the day, then the, in between Mikvah and the night. That's when you're counting. That's the rule. So Gemara says, or to the Shamish, let her Bia that night. She went to Mikvah day 21. And then at night, so the Gemara says, no, she saw, because she rasa be'erev. So remember, she sees on day 22, so day 22 starts the night before. She sees at night, so she can't have it. Okay. Now, umat vilinoso tishu v'chamesh tvilos. 95 tvilos, she has to go to mikvah 95 times, according to Beis Shammai. Why? Shavua kama, the first week, mat vilinoso bilelsa. The first week, she goes to mikvah every single night. The emar yoleda zachari. Because maybe, in one of the seven, maybe she gave birth one of the 7 days beforehand, and therefore each night of the first week is a possibility that she finished her counting of the 7 days for the Zachar. So that's 7 days, that's seven. Shavua sheni matbilin also belavasa. And on the second week, she goes also every night, because maybe she gave birth to a nekeva, and every night is the end of her yumei tuma for the nekeva. That's 14, right? Shavua sheni matbilin also belavasa, emar yoledes nekeva hi. And the yamama, and on the second week, she goes to mikvah every day, the Amar Yoleda Zachar Bezovi. Maybe she gave birth to a Zachar while she was a Zov. So the second week, she gave birth, whatever, the week before she came to us, and the first week was Tahara, was the Yumei for the Zachar, and the second week is her Shiva Nikiyah for the Zov, when she gave birth as a Zov. So each day could possibly end the Ziva, so she goes to mikvah 7 days every morning, during the day. That's 21.
Right.
She accomplishes nothing to do for her, but according to Beis Shammai, there is a mitzvah, which means there's an obligation to go to mikvah every single time the possibility exists that you be tahor.
Right.
That's why you have to go 95 times. You're holding like the last sheet that says, what's the point? Right. Ain't a phenomenon. Correct, because he's still a suffix. Right? So, b'yamama emar yoledes mezopi. And then, also now, we go to b'shvuah shlishi, on the third week, she has to go to mikvah every day, Amor Yoledes Nekeva Zofi, because maybe she gave her to Nekeva while she was a Zov. So the third week, any day could be the end of her Shiva Nekeva for a Zov, she has to go. So that's 21. Okay? And also in the third week, Bilel Vosa. She has to go every night. Why? Because Beishame Litamayu, Beishame goes with Shikasam, the Amri, Tvulas Yom Aroch, Boy Tvila. Beishame says, there's a Tvulas Yom Aroch. Tvulas Yom Aroch, if you travel Tvul Yom, which you go during the day, and you're not Torah till at night. So Beishame says, a Zava would have to go at night, would have to go go to Mikvah during the day, and also has to go at night, because at night then she has to go again to matter her from the Truma. Because it says here, a Yoledes that was Tovelis after her Yemei Tuma, and she became Torah to Rabbeila, she's still Usher to Truma until the very end of her Yemei Tohar. And therefore she needs Tevila at the end of her Yemei Tahara in order to allow her to touch Truma. So it's talking about a Yoledes.
She's a Tful Yom no matter what.
She's a Tful Yom, but she's a Tful Yom Megabe Truma. So therefore, even though she's Mutter to her husband, she still would have to go to Mikveh at night. This mikvah allows the Yoledes to now eat truma. She has to go at night. I think that's
right.
Right. So that's according. It's only according to Beis Shammai. Where is it?
Okay. I got it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's another seven. So that's 28. So she's going now. So she's going. She's basically going morning and night. She's going. That's 35, right?
Yeah.
That's 35. She's basically going morning and night. But how did it go? What did we do? We said week one was morning. Week one she went in the morning. Week at night. Week two she went at night. Week three she went during the day. Going in order. Week one at night. Week two at night. Then week two during the day. Week three during the day. And week three at night. That's total 35. So we have 35. And now the Gemara says... Right, micht. I don't know if that chart's so helpful. Micht. Let's just finish up. Michtay Yemei Tahara Kamahabu. So now, how many days does she have left till day 80, which we'll know for sure she become Tahara Kamahabi? Shita Meshita. That's another 66 days. Dal Shavua Shlishi. Take away the third week because she already went to Mikvah. Partially Shita Nechichada. There's 59 days there. Right, so she went 35 plus 59 is 94. Why is she going to Mikvah all these days? Because we don't know when she gave birth. Every day till day 80, when she appears to us, is possibly the end of her Yoledes period, and she has to go to Mikvah at the end of her Yoledes period. So every night she has to go. So that makes us, we had 35 plus 59. Well, that only gives us 94. He said 95. Where's the last one? He says Dal Shavuos Shlishi Dablina Lehu Parshul Shita Nechichada Utlas Nechamesh 59 plus 35. That's 94. Ah, Tishim v'chamesh ma'ad d'itayu. How do you get to the 95th? Amr of Yirmi Midifti. Rav Yirmi Midifti says, he goes to Shabbosel the Fanenu Bein Hashmashos. She came to us, and when she first came to us, it was Bein Hashmashos. So it was a suffix which day it was. So there's an extra tefillah that she has to go to get rid of that suffix. The Divina let tefillah Yisrael. So we have that extra tefillah. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow you'll pick up and do Beis Hillel.
The question, are they going to charge her if she goes to the... That's a bad question.